So, how about wrapping up the next three sessions, going to the qualification of office bearers in the Bible, and applying that to ministry biz?
Yeah, because these are all really good things. So, right. Let's go to it. And qualifications. Here we are in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Here's the trustworthy say. If someone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task.
So the whole thing starts with leadership is good, doing things is good, managing a ministry biz or, in a sense, a church and making things happen is a good thing.
Maybe we need to say, why are we talking about leadership here?
Okay.
With the ministry biz. Why is the ministry biz connected to this whole thing of overseer and being a leader?
Good question.
Yes.
I think you should elaborate on it.
Well, if you're going to start something, it's always, that's what leaders do.
Right.
Leaders start things.
Yes.
And if you're going to get people to either buy or, experience whatever it is that you're trying to do to them, you need followers.
Right.
And there's no way you can be get followers unless you're a leader.
That's right.
And we thought, the Bible puts out all these little qualifications of what it takes to be a leader. Why wouldn't these same things apply to someone starting a ministry business?
It's interesting that word is for bishop, overseer, translated by some, an elder or whatever. But in the history of the church, I know this word. This was the word of the make it happened Christian leaders, the network makers, who actually, like Polycarp, was a network. They called them metropolitan bishops and stuff like that. But they had the qualities, and they were bivocational.
Who was Polycarp?
Polycarp was one of the early founders of Christianity after the Apostle Paul and Peter in that first generation passed away. The Apostle John, in fact, Polycarp was baptized by the Apostle John.
Okay.
And then he went on. But there were many who were in that category, and this was written. It was written for that next generation of make a difference people in Christianity.
Now, why do you think that he had to make a statement like it's a noble task? I mean, why is he saying that this is a noble task?
It's that curious doing thing that we started out on. It's the, look, Christianity, to be reproducible, I feel one of the big threats of the Christian movement was not that first generation who knew Jesus and saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was the next generation. Getting those leaders going, and this is written late in the Apostle Paul's ministry. Mm-hmm. Second Timothy is his last book. This is the second to last book, and he's now into the next generation of leaders. Repetition, repeatability, reproducibility, all these things are happening in the movement of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And if someone has that impetus, that's a noble task.
Okay. Could it also be that people weren't stepping up? I mean, a lot of times we see that in church,
yes,
where it's just easier to let someone else take responsibility.
Yeah.
Let someone else start something, and then you just follow along.
Right.
But nothing happens unless someone steps up.
That's
so I guess
a good point.
If you're taking this class, you're probably one that wants to step up. I mean, I don't know why you'd be taking this class if you don't. So congratulations, you're part of those few who actually seek a noble task.
Now, it's interesting in businesses like McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, when they do like people for franchises, they have qualifications. And here the Bible has qualifications for the leaders that are going to make a difference.
Right. All right, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Now, the overseer must be above reproach.
So the first qualification is to be above reproach.
What does that mean?
What that means is that there's not a bad report about them.
Okay. So a good report among the people you know, that know you.
Right. And if you've had some bad reports in the past, you've made amends.
Right.
You care about your reputation.
Right. So maybe that's what some of you need to do.
Right.
Is to go back and fix some of that.
Yes.
Right? I mean, before you launch into some enterprise that requires the support of everyone you know, right, maybe you need to heal some of those wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And what a more powerful witness than to go back and tell people you're sorry and, you know, be that new person,
right,
that people maybe can believe in.
Right, right.
All right. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife.
Interesting. Well, yes, it means not into polygamy.
Right.
And for Christianity, it's holding to the biblical definition of marriage. And in ministry, that applies very much there. It also, I believe, is talking about really that you are faithful,
right,
that you can be trusted.
Right.
And again, right, I know some of you have gone through divorce,
right,
but now from now on,
right,
that you are trustworthy people.
Right. Because, yeah, if you can't be trusted with this kind of a relationship, then how can people trust that you're going to say what you're going to do?
You know, I've met many incredible businessmen, many ministry business people. They don't, mm-hmm, know that term, but yeah, I've met many of them. And I'll tell you, the ones that are faithful in this relationship, right, have a leg up.
Absolutely, because you have a partner that that can pick you up when you're feeling down.
And even too, if your spouse recommends you, that's powerful. We talked about that before.
Yep. Okay. Temperate.
Temperate.
What does that even mean? Temperate.
What it means is moderation.
Okay.
That you're not going off on this section so much that, like, often you
moderation. For example of what? Moderation in what?
Okay, so let's say in food.
Okay.
You know, it's like, okay, so, you know, you're going to be exposed. Let's say you have a coffee shop. There's going to be a lot of carb food over there. And I remember my first test in moderation was when I was hired at a fast food, mm-hmm, A&W back in the 1970s. I was 14 years old. And they allowed you to have some free food,
okay,
and all the root beer you wanted to drink.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you. For a 14-year-old, all the root beer you want to drink?
Right.
How
long did it take you to figure out that temperance might be a good way to go?
It took me about 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say 2 weeks.
No. I'm sorry to say that it took me 6 months. But at a certain point, you hit a wall. But
right,
all of life is that way.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I mean, people, you know, alcohol is a very good example. A lot of people struggle with addiction, whether it's alcohol or whatever. And the path of moderation, it's not that someone would have a glass of wine at dinner or whatever, but if that wine becomes everything that you're about, this is a problem. But this could be a various ways. Somebody could, in clothing, you know, the fashion is such a strong thing that you spend money so much on this that you've missed out on, you know, spending the money on what it takes to actually do a ministry.
So why might this be important when you're studying a ministry biz?
Well, you only have a limited budget.
Okay.
And you have to be very careful about spending the money wisely.
Right. And or even, let's say you start the ministry biz and then you OD on all the hours that you put into it and you ignore everything else.
Right.
So again, you can put a lot of effort or energy into one thing, but then you're doing it at the expense of something else. And you can do that for a short period of time.
Right.
Like, there's seasons.
Yeah.
Of, you know,
you're getting some off the ground. You know,
is what there's seasons of unbalance in your life.
Yeah.
But if it becomes a pattern, then a lot of times people crash and burn. So
if you crash and burn, then the business is over.
Yeah. Right, you're the golden goose. And if you kill the golden goose, it's done.
And you kill your... Yes.
Yes, okay. So, self-controlled.
Hmm. It's similar to temperance. But self-controlled means that you are able to manage your own passions, able to manage your own... Like, if you don't feel like going door-to-door, you have the... self-discipline, self-control to actually go counterintuitive to what you might feel like doing or not doing.
Right. Because right now, you know, as we're talking about this, and especially if you take one of the courses that are specific to the coffee biz, ministry biz, or the Bible ministry or biz, or the
life coaching,
especially when you take those, you're going to get really excited about it.
Yes.
And you're going to have all these huge thoughts about it. But then when you actually start doing it, you're going to have these days where it's just nothing but work.
No.
And it's it's the same work that you did the day before. And
right.
And everything in you will be saying, is this what I really want to do? And to have the self-control to follow through with your dream and your vision, you know, that takes some control.
But I must say, for you to be at COI, and you're doing it freely, not because someone is going in debt to do this, and that's you to do it that way, you already have a measure of self-control.
Right, yes.
So
yeah, just to finish these classes, to get to this session, you had to have the self-control to actually get here.
Yeah.
So congratulations. But self-control in terms of relationships, you know, all these businesses are about relationships.
Yeah.
So making sure the boundaries are good between your family, your spouse, other people's spouses coming in.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of temptation in a world that's very relational, especially when you're doing a relational kind of business.
And you're working hard and someone else is working hard with you, and if that person working hard with you is not your spouse, then that boundaries can be broken, and you know, you have downtime, but you have a lot of hard time, and it's very true.
So we'll leave it there, and in the next session we'll continue with some of these helpful
qualifications
of leadership.